What up, ladies and gentlemen? It's Tyler Starr, the Mad Dog, and welcome back to another edition of Sox Talk. Dan O'Rourke is out of town. He is up at ZooMass, but I am here in studio today with
Hunter Sorrow.
And we are ready to get under the way for some Sox Talk today. So let's talk Sox. All right, so the first subject of today's episode is the Red Sox versus the White Sox series. Series was split down the middle at 2. A team either got blown out, or a team blew the other team out. The two rain-delayed games, the White Sox won. The two regular scheduled league games, the Red Sox won. Do you think that played any factor into the reason why the Red Sox lost those two rain-delayed games?
No, I mean, I know Brian Johnson got shelled in one of those games, and that was the reason they lost that one. And then the other one, I don't know.
Evaldi.
No, Evaldi was tonight.
No, but he in the White Sox series, the first loss of the White Sox series.
Oh, he pitched twice in four games?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't pitch him very... Like, they took him out today, and he didn't even pitch that much.
Well, because the reason in the first rain-delayed game, he only pitched,
like, two innings.
Because of the rain.
Yeah. And they didn't put him back.
Yeah, because after the rain...
He was getting hit.
He was getting shelled. So you look at that, but when they... And then when they got, I think you could say, decent starts in that series, you know, like Eduardo, who...
Eduardo rocked right through the lineup.
And what were your initial thoughts on Rodriguez's return? He took a no-hitter into the fourth inning of that game.
I mean...
Well, through the fourth
maybe,
inning.
Maybe. I mean, I get that he was cruising, but maybe they shouldn't have left him in that long. I mean, because he ended up giving up that run, but I mean, it's not a big deal.
And I think it's very reassuring for the Red Sox to know that you have him back in that Sale and Price are on their way back. So come mid-September, this team is going to be back to fully healthy, and they're going to be back, you know, the full gear, and I think that'll be really important. You saw the Sox bats. They were sort of, you know, uneven in this series. You know, the first game, they come alive, JD and Mookie homer in that game. Then the game after that, they're silenced. And then the game after that, they come back alive, you know, with three home runs in that game.
I mean, today Mookie went 1-for-5 and JD went 1-for-4.
And then in the game after that, they got no runs in that. And then, so, I mean, you look at the series as a whole, there's really an inconsistency from both sides, but I think it's a more of a disappointment on the side of the Red Sox, because that you have the White Sox, you know, a team that you should win, and you split the series with them. Thank God the Yankees aren't playing their best ball of the season right now either.
They're playing their worst ball.
So, I mean...
They fell out of the most recent power rankings out of the top five.
Yeah, but when you look at the Red Sox, you know, they've kept that 8.5 game lead that I think sort of, you know, solidified here. But you do look, they have a hard upcoming schedule. So now, that's just our quick review here on the Red Sox-White Sox series. I don't really have a lot to say other than the fact...
Yeah, the Red Sox coming up, they have a series,
two more games against the Braves.
Two more games against the Braves, and then they have a three-game series at Boston against the Astros, and then a three-game series at Boston against the Blue Jays, and then another three-game series at Boston against the Mets. Then they go to New York to play the Yankees for a three-game
series. So you look at the four series after the Braves series. You have two legit opponents in the Yankees and in the Astros.
Listen to this stretch. They go Astros, Blue Jays, Mets. Blue Jays and Mets.
They should win those games,
but it goes Astros, Blue Jays, Mets, Yankees, Indians.
I mean, and then you have Yankees not too far after that.
And you have Yankees as the last one, but it's split between a Orioles series.
And that's to finish up the season. So you look at it, it's not a cakewalk to the end. This 8.5 game lead, I think people sort of look at the division right now and say, oh, it's over. 8.5 games this late in the season. There's no way the Yankees could, you know, make up that ground. But you look at the Red Sox upcoming schedule, it's not crazy to think that the Yankees couldn't at least close the gap by the time they meet in that final series of the year. Could be a meaningful one. What do you think about that? Could the final series of the year be a meaningful one if the Yankees make up ground?
I mean, yeah, obviously.
If the Yankees have a 2.5 games behind going into that series.
That final three-game series?
Then the Red Sox just need to win one game.
Yeah.
And
you know Price is pitching one of those.
I mean, but, and that's...
Not Price, Sale, sorry.
That's pressure. But I don't think it'll get that close because I have faith that the Red Sox, and they've proven time and time again that they can beat good teams. They're above 500 against good teams.
Not that we want to get that close, but it could be good to see Sale pitching in a pressure situation much like a playoff.
Because you see in the playoffs, he has an ERA above 7 in his career postseason-wise.
I mean, he hasn't been in it very much, to be completely fair.
But when he has been rocked, absolutely creamed. So anyways, moving on today, the Red Sox beat the Atlanta Braves 8-2, coming alive once again, which has sort of been the theme sort of over this stretch of games, this 9 stretch of games against the Marlins, White Sox, and Braves, where the 7th, 8th, and 9th are where the Red Sox get their runs. You know, they get down early and then they come back. You can't live like that forever if you're the Red Sox, and we saw it today. It was 3-2 heading into the 8th today, yeah. And then the Red Sox got...
Put up 2 in the 8th and 3 in the 9th.
I mean, then the Red Sox got all that insurance. But a team can't continuously get down 3-0 to start games and then have to come back in the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
At least we can say Kinsler's heating up a little bit.
But, I mean, yes, and we're going to get to that. But, I mean, but give this team credit. They are coming back. But there's going to be the good teams that you're playing, the Indians, the Astros, the Yankees, that won't let you come back. You know, a team like the Yankees, who has a good enough bullpen to keep you right where you are. A team like the Indians, who has a good enough bullpen to keep you right where you are. So, I mean, you look at that, and, you know, you're like, this team has to stop winning this way. Although they are winning, and sometimes they're winning in decisive fashion, you can't wait till the 7th inning till you see a pitcher the 3rd time around to decide to finally start hitting against them again. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying, man.
But, I mean, I think to the Red Sox credit, they are hitting. I don't think the offense is slumping like it was in the Rays series or a lot earlier. That's all we have so far for gameplay that we have been away from in between podcasts. And now we are going to move on to the waiver deadline, which passed the August 31st at midnight. No waiver deals for the Red Sox. I thought maybe they'd bring in a reliever. I think the time to do it was the trade deadline. And then not doing one at the trade deadline, I think, well, definitely for sure they're going to do one at the waiver deadline. But nothing from Dombrowski, because really they can't afford a pitcher at the waiver deadline. And they didn't do anything. It looked like a lot of teams that were making a playoff push were gearing up, and not necessarily the teams that were solidified.
The Indians taking Donaldson, the Yankees taking McCutchen, and then...
some pitchers. The Brewers got Granderson and Gio Gonzalez. So those are two solid moves for them.
Granderson sucks.
Granderson's actually had a pretty big power surge this year, believe it or not. He's not 10 years ago Curtis Granderson, but he's 4 years ago Curtis Granderson. But, I mean, you look at the teams that are gearing up for the playoff pushes. Like, the teams that are gearing up for these, like the Brewers, like the Braves, you guys should not be spending your prospects on, you know, bums like Gio Gonzalez, you know. Save up your prospects and just ride these seasons out. See what happens, because the goal primarily for these teams...
Yeah, the Brewers might have the NL MVP, though.
Christian Yelich.
Yep.
He hit a walk-off tonight.
Yep.
And he's number 1 in the league, I think, for batting average in the NL.
I don't know about... He said, like, .313, I guess.
He's an absolute monster. So, I mean, you look at that, and the Brewers, they have some really good players. But I do not... I don't think that they should be trading for pieces to help them come to postseason. Just ride it out. You don't need to be spending your prospects on rentals when you're a team that, you know, realistically should still be rebuilding, but they've found nice success in a whole league where everybody is tanking. I mean, and I don't want to take credit away from the Red Sox.
It's actually Scooter Gennett hitting .320.
He's a beast, and he's young, too.
Yelich is hitting .315.
I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the Red Sox this year. They have 96 wins, and they deserve that. 95, 96 wins, I don't know, whatever they have. But you look at the league, and it looks like every league is tanking. They're following, you know, they're following the format that the Cubs and the Astros followed. Build up on prospects and be good in 7 years. So it's really easy for the Red Sox to beat up on the bottom-level feeding teams of the league. It's really easy to beat up on a bunch of hot garbage, and I think the MLB really does have a problem with teams tanking as of lately to try to get these top prospects. And, you know, right now, if you're a good team right now that's in a win-now mode, you should be teeing off on other teams. And that's exactly what teams like the Red Sox, you know, teams like the Dodgers, teams like the Cubs, you know, teams like the Astros, that's what those teams are doing. The teams...
But you know that Eugenio Suarez is 100 RBIs.
I didn't even know Eugenio Suarez existed.
He's got 31 homers.
What team is he on?
The Reds.
So Eugenio Suarez, this is how bad the National League is, that these guys go unnoticed. The National League...
Eugenio Suarez.
The National League might as well be the minor league system for the AL.
He said 293 with 31 homers, 100 RBIs.
The National League might as well be the minor league affiliate to the AL. They're that bad. I mean, their pitching's not terrible, but the hitting is so bad. You look at the fourth, I think, best hitter in the American League. I think it's Segura.
Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks. 10 triples. Yeah, and then Javi Baez the other night with his... All of a sudden, he's hitting for power this year. He just hit his 100th RBI with his home run that went moonshot, that went about 480 feet. So... That's the NL pretty much wrapped up.
All right. Moving on from no deals at the waiver deadline. We sort of got a little sidetracked there. But Eovaldi sucks. You look at his past three starts. He's given four, I should say. Five, I should say. He's given us poorer. Every single time.
He wasn't terrible.
And then he works with Pedro Martinez, and he thinks just by touching the guy, he's going to be God. Okay, that's not how it works. You have to actually take the stuff in that Pedro is telling you and use it on the mound. He can't be out there on the mound with you in the middle of a game and be like, so how do I throw the breaking ball again? Pedro can't be telling you, you know, put your thumb under the second lace. No, he can't be doing that. So Eovaldi has to figure it out within himself.
Sale 2.0?
No, not Sale 2.0. I was premature on that one. Okay, he's not what he's cracked up to be. He was never cracked up to be anything. He came in here to be a role player, and now due to these injuries, he's asked to start every fifth day, which is not an ideal situation when he's so bad. He is terrible. And he started off really well, and he has cheese. He throws 99. He has a pretty good breaking ball. He's a ground ball pitcher. He has the beautiful arm, but he has no control, and he really has... You know, he doesn't analyze situations the way he should be analyzing them. And I think that is really bad for Eovaldi and for a major league pitcher. He's pitching like a high school kid. He's just putting the ball over the plate and seeing what happens. Command issues when your catcher is setting up outside and you have a ball that goes right to the belt buckle of the batter, that means that you have control issues. Okay, sometimes a breaking ball gets away from you. But, you know, when you're told to set up outside, to pitch outside, you should be pitching outside. And right now, he is not doing that. It's really not a good situation for the Red Sox to have this. So, anyways, we have a few more points here to get to. For the Red Sox, Stephen Wright, he is back, and today he pitched pretty damn good. He had one inning of relief. He got into a slight jam with runners in the corner with two outs, but he got out of it. Do you think that David Price and Stephen Wright combo? If David Price had a knuckleball, he'd be David Wright. But do you think that he can be a reliable arm out of the bullpen?
No. Hate him. Always will. Hate knuckleball pitchers.
Why? Did you ever watch Tim Wakefield?
Yep.
You hated Tim Wakefield?
Didn't hate him.
You hated Ari Dickey?
Hate Ari Dickey.
You hate Raw?
Hate Raw.
Okay, but do you think that, you know, Wright could at least provide...
As long as he can do what Brian Johnson's doing, I'll be fine with it.
And would you like to see Wright move back into a starter role?
If he pitches the way he is capable of pitching, then yes.
But you don't trust him, though, is what you're saying.
I don't trust him.
I think every time he gets some sort of injury, he pitches bad. But when he's completely healthy, he is a top 10 pitcher in the AL. And you saw it 2 years ago when he was healthy. He had 14. He was 14-3 at the All-Star break or something like that. Something ridiculous. He was an All-Star. But when he gets injured, it seems like he has a really tough time coming back, and I think that has something to do with his age.
Baseball players are soft. Sorry.
His age and whatnot. Maybe they are. And we are going to get to the final point before we get to the break, which is going to be that Porcello has had three straight poor outings. And from a guy who was considered the third or fourth pitcher on the staff, I think primarily third, depending on how Price is pitching, because he's up and down all the time. But for a guy who you're relying on in Porcello to come out and pitch poor three straight weeks, you know, that's a bad look, you know. And
Cy Young winner 2 years ago.
But he hasn't pitched good since that Yankees game, since that complete game. 86 pitches in a complete game. And he hasn't pitched well since. I don't know if he's on his high horse. I don't know what he's doing right now. But I can say to you right now that he's not pitching well. And it's the inconsistency, but I don't want that inconsistency to just turn to poor performance.
That's his problem, is inconsistency.
No, but inconsistency can turn to poor performance.
Well, yeah.
And that's what I fear happening with Porcello right now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean,
that's how pitchers work.
He's not keeping the ball in the park.
No.
I think that's the bottom line, and we've heard him...
He's not giving up singles, he's giving up dongs.
Home runs. And we've heard him talk about that, we heard Cora talk about that, that he has to keep the ball in the ballpark, because that's the number one way he's hurting his team. Alright, so we are now going to hit on the Sox Talk question of the day, right here, quick before the break, and that question will be... What role do you think Brandon Phillips will play when he gets up to Boston? The second baseman, Brandon Phillips, what role do you think he will play when he gets up to Boston? And remember, you can not text me anymore. We're not going to do that one anymore. But you can email me at tyrosr53@gmail.com, or you can DM me at the Instagram handle SoxTalk, all one word. Once again, the question is, what role do you think Brandon Phillips, the second baseman that was called up, will play for the Red Sox when he gets here? And once again, you can email me, that was hard, at tylersorrow53@gmail.com, or you can DM me at the Instagram handle SoxTalk, one word. So we'll be right back after a quick intermission when Hunter will hit you with our SoxTalk headlines.
Said than done. I thought you were the one listening to my heart instead of my head. You found another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me. I still see your shadows in my room.
Hey guys, welcome back from the break. I'm Hunter Saro, and here is today's Sox Talk headlines. While we were gone, Josh Donaldson went to the Indians at the deadline. And then McCutcheon also went to the Yankees. I think Donaldson will be some much added depth to the Indians. And McCutcheon could be bad news for the Yankees. Could mean that Aaron Judge is out longer than we expected. But good news for us Red Sox fans. Right-handed pitcher Guerin goes to the A's. Gio Gonzalez and Curtis Granderson both go to the Brewers. We're going to go over the scores today from the interleague play. Sox beat the Braves 8-2. Twins lose to the Astros 4-1. Kansas City beats
Cleveland.
5-1. And the Yankees take an L to the A's. 6-3. Out of the league scores, the Cardinals are losers to the Nats, 4-3. The Marlins beat the Phillies, 3-1. The Pirates beat the Reds, 5-1. And the Brewers beat the Cubs, 4-3. The injury reports, Wainwright is scheduled to return soon. First time since May. Sale also is getting into live BP. He's expected to return along with Price in the coming weeks. Sox news, Brandon Phillips gets called up. We got Zuwei, Lynn, Poyer, Cuevas, Scott, and Travis all called up following these injuries. And then the Red Sox are 7-8 in their last 15, but they're still 8.5 games up on the Yankees, who are struggling as of lately.
So thank you for those headlines. Hunter the Mad Dog is back. Let us know how you feel about those Sox Talk headlines of the day. Thank you very much for those, Hunter. Well done job. All right, so we are going to get to our next point here, and that is the hot hitters on the Red Sox right now. Crazy sound effects, bang, bang, hot hitters for the Boston Red Sox. Mookie Betts and Ian Kinsler. Here are the impacts. Mookie Betts, after going on a huge slide, has recently returned to his
from 350 all the way down to 330, back up to 340.
Back up to his all-star form. In his last 7 games, he's been 10 for 26 with 6 RBIs and 2 home runs. Respectable. And the other Hot Sox.
Respectable.
Above average.
Thank you.
The other Hot Sox hitter is the Ian Kinsler effect. Yes, Mr. Kinsler, a very nice addition. Someone that sort of went under the radar at the trade deadline, but he's proven to be a very nice addition for Dave Dombrowski's Red Sox.
Plus, would you have rather had a relieving pitcher in place?
Oh, 100%. But Ian Kinsler has played extremely well for this Boston Red Sox team. In his last 7 games, he's 11 for 27 with 6 RBIs and a home run, including a 3 RBI game today with a double and a single. He did that shimmy thing over at first base that they like to do. Who else do you think on this team is hot as of right now?
God, I can't believe you didn't talk about JBJ. I think he's been one of the hottest hitters in the league. He hit a home run the other day. He's up to 230, I want to say. And he's just been and also I think keeping him in the 9 hole is a great idea.
He's basically a second
leadoff
cleanup.
Well, he could also be a second leadoff because Mookie usually gets up to base with no one on base because it's that Sandy, JBJ, all those guys.
So basically the free outs, as I refer to them.
Yeah. And he's no longer free out, and it's giving Mookie.
And when he's going, when the back end of that lineup is going like you saw today, good things happen. Nunez, Kinsler, JBJ, and that's another Hot Sox hitter that we didn't mention because we can only do 2 in the Hot Sox question, bang, bang. Nunez, Eduardo Nunez, he has recently had a power surge. He had a double today to get the Red Sox offense rolling in the 5th. That was huge. He had a home run the other day. The day before that, he had another home run. In the Miami series, he had 2 homers, so what was that, 4 home runs?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him, but I like it.
I think for the first time this year, he's finally healthy.
Might be going to the cycle.
I think for the first time this year, he's finally healthy. Because you saw last year when they acquired him from the Giants, what he could do when he was healthy. He was hitting 300 with us.
He
was just absolutely mashing the ball.
And then he had that knee injury, right?
Yeah, and then in the first game of the playoffs against the Astros, he was jogging down the first baseline.
Astro.
Something happened in his knee. And so because of that, he hasn't really been the same at the start of the season. But now his power is coming back. He's hitting for average. And now that he's going, this lineup gets that much more scarier. Now you have 7 hitters, you know, that can, you know.
Yeah, but you still have freaking sandbag catchers that we have. Actually, Swihart's been
But when you look at the league, catcher is a big issue. There's really no
Wilson
good catchers.
Ramos or JT Realmuto.
It's a heavy price to ask.
Wilson Ramos is like 32.
I know, but
that expensive.
Still, you can get 6 years out of Ramos. Serviceable years. Should the Red Sox have gone for a catcher? That is a question you can answer.
I think Sandy's fine. He's really good defensively, and you know.
Then you have Swihart as a bat. If you need
Swihart's
to pinch
not terrible.
If you need to pinch in someone, you hit Swihart. Vasquez had a good day today. He had a double today.
Oh fuck! I hate Vasquez. I'm sorry.
But he could. Mouth. He could. He could provide some future offense, I think.
I'm sorry, didn't you not call him a sandbag?
But that actually moves us into our next point. Christian Vasquez is back. How much does this help this Red Sox team?
Not a splooch.
Well, if you're referring to it as making the games longer, then
well, yeah, if you want longer games.
Because he has to change the ball for his pitcher every time that's not in the strike zone. He has to walk up to the mound. He has to say, you know, if we get crushed, it's a dangerous thing. It's not dangerous. You have a bunch of pads on, okay? Stop being a wuss. Get behind the plate and block balls that you don't know are coming.
I don't think it helps at all. I mean, you got Swihart.
Well, it adds
Swihart,
depth.
Swihart's a better hitter. Sandy's better defensively.
So Christian Vasquez is the odd man out, and unfortunately for us, we signed him to a 3-year extension. So,
Yeah, but Sandy won't be here very much longer.
And, I mean, but you look at, I think all three have their own great characteristics. Sandy's good defensively,
Vasquez has a cannon of an arm.
I know he does. But so does Swihart. Sandy doesn't have a great arm, but he's really good instinctively. He has the best ERA behind the plate.
All the pitchers love throwing to him.
Yeah, and I mean, but his average is just taking a hit. If Sandy was hitting, I'd have no problem.
If he was hitting 230, I'd have absolutely no problem playing him night in, night out.
But I mean,
like 190?
Yeah, his average is taking a slide. He'll probably get back to where he was later. I think he's just going through a slump. But with a guy like Sandy Leon, not a proven MLB player, you really don't know if he's going to come out of the slump. And we saw that, I think, in the past with Sandy. That you can't rely on him. He's not going to provide you offense. He's not there for that. And but I think that Christian Vasquez being back, I think it really does nothing except for some added depth. You know, another guy in the clubhouse, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe he's a good locker room guy.
So now,
by the way, did you see the Brock Holt clip of him doing the Halo theme song in the shower between
yes.
the rain delays?
Yes, give us yours right now.
Huh?
Do it right now for us.
You want to hear my Halo cover of
the well, yes, a Halo theme. For you guys that don't know the Halo theme song, it was basically a meme that happened, a month ago?
Yeah, it was one of the football players doing it in the show.
The Eagles guy. And yeah. so people sort of said, oh, that's majestic and godly and whatnot. So it sort of took on its own life of becoming a meme.
And now he's just...
And now, for some reason, it's a big thing. So, Hunter, here it is. Here's you. Do it. Listen to those pipes, Tamika.
We love you, Brock.
Beautiful. That was not Hunter. That was actually Brock Holt. Hunter, do yours now.
No.
Oh, he's not a team player. I'll do my own. Oh, just kidding. We'll have to wait. Tune in next week for that. But anyways, Brock Holt's an excellent team player. And for what he lacks in batting and in fielding, he makes up for it in the clubhouse. He's a great team morale guy. the ball players love him. He's always there to celebrate. He's always, you know, excited. He's jolly. And he's a great presence to have. He's a veteran presence. And when he gets in there, he can perform too. He can provide some offense. His defense isn't all bad. It's not all, you know, poops and giggles. You know, some of it's rainbows and sunshine. Sometimes Brock Holt is going to, you know, it hits very good. And he goes on these stints where he can hit. And I think that's very beneficial for this team to have a guy that can do that. I heard that's why the Yankees went out and got a guy like McCutchen, because he's very good in the clubhouse. He's a great clubhouse presence, and I think that could rub off on them. I think they need some veteran leadership on that team. And I think they need some veteran leadership on that team because a guy like Giancarlo is not a veteran when it comes to the playoffs. Andrew McCutchen has been to the playoffs. Andrew McCutchen is an MVP. Okay, so I think that's one of the, I think that's the main reason they got him, is to be the Brock Holt of the Yankees.
He also gives him a viable leadoff hitter.
I guess it's not. But I mean,
that's not Shane Robinson.
Crawford.
Who?
Their center fielder. Is that his name?
Oh, Crawford. That guy. He's not good. Hicks. He just had a good
Hicks.
Oh, Aaron Hicks.
He has 22 home runs.
Yeah, but Hicks is third base. Oh no, Andujar's third base.
He's overperformed this year for them.
They get a lot out of their rookies.
He's a good little find.
They get a lot of their rookies.
And Hicks.
Judge last year, Torres and Andujar this year.
Andujar's not that good.
Andujar's pretty good. He's in 300.
He's not good. Right. Do you see the throw in the Red Sox series? He's not good defensively. And they got Greg Poopface Bird.
Yeah, he's freaking terrible.
Greg Bird is if you know, I could say that there was a Toby from The Office of the world, it'd be Greg Bird. Because I hate everything about him. If I was in a room with Bird, I won't do that one. Great Vines by the producer said, don't do that one, which was Hunter. Okay, so is the division over at 8.5 games?
Too early to tell. If the Yankees continue their slide, then yes, it's over, obviously. If the Red Sox can heat up.
But we've seen this lead sort of fluctuate. It's been down to 6.5.
It's been up to 10.
But it sort of stayed between 6 and 10.
Yeah.
So,
which is, I think, is a safe spot.
And I think it'll stay there. The Red Sox magic number to clinch a playoff berth is 7. So they're in. Okay, they're in. They just have to win 7 more games, right? Easy, right?
Is that 7 too much out of what, 20?
Yeah, is that too much to ask for, Boston? Come on!
I don't think so. Hey, Stephen A. Smith recently voted Boston the best sports city in America.
What are your top 5 sports cities in America?
Boston, New York, gotta say New York.
Well, because they have 8, like, double teams.
Detroit.
Explain that one to me, just real quickly.
The Tigers. It's the amount of teams they have. Tigers,
Red Wings?
Lions, Red Wings. They have 3 teams that are all Pistons. Relevant. The Pistons. They have 4 teams that are relevant.
They don't have a soccer team.
You don't know that.
I don't know that.
Yeah,
3.
Gotta go with Cali. I don't know exactly which city.
Bay Area? Cali. Los Angeles?
Probably Bay Area, Los Angeles area.
Well, that's 2 different areas. Do you know your California geography? The Bay Area is Oakland, San Jose, Anaheim.
I'm going to say LA. Because the Kings have won championships. You got the Rams, who are up and coming. You got the
Chargers. So, well, you have teams going there.
Yeah.
And the Raiders are going. Well, no, sorry, I thought they were going. Never mind. That's beside
the point. Also, you have Houston, which is more just because of the Hurricane Harvey incident and everyone rallying around.
But they also have legit teams.
They also have.
They don't have a hockey team though.
They do not.
So that banks some points.
I mean, they have Dallas, which isn't too far, but.
Oh, well, I guess if I was from Houston, then I'd root for Dallas. So that's your 5.
Yeah.
All right, for me, I think it has to be Boston. You look at recent success. Every team in the 2000s has won a championship.
Notice I didn't put Philadelphia because they're all scumbags.
But Boston is number 1 for me. Number 2, I'd have to go to the Bay Area. You have the Warriors. You have the Athletics. You have the Ducks. And you have the team, the Raiders. I mean, right now, that is a really, really great area for sports. The Warriors are the best team in basketball. The Oakland A's are the best. One of the better up-and-coming MLB teams. The Raiders are not a half-bad team. And the Ducks, they've won championships.
They're always consistently They're always in the playoffs.
And I'm going to stay in California for my next one. Los Angeles. The Kings have won 2 championships in the past 10 years. Their first 2 in franchise history. The Dodgers are a very good team, and they're always in it. Right now, you know, they were in the NL finals last year. And they're playing excellent baseball right now. I think another team I have to go for LA are the football teams. You know, the Rams and the Chargers. The Rams, you know, they made it to the playoffs last year. Good for them. The Chargers are an excellent team. They're both very legit NFL contenders, and I think that's really good for the city. And then
Chargers are always riddled with injuries.
And then you look at the basketball. It's the basketball mecca. Not because of the Clippers, but because of the Lakers. I think the Lakers, after the Celtics, are the most storied franchise in MLB. Maybe they are more storied than the Celtics. I think they are. You know,
only because of the big names they've had.
And I think, it's just the mecca. LeBron's going there right now. Everything is great.
Everyone wants to go to LA.
And I think that sort of plays into the role of why it's such a great sports city right now. The next one, I got to go Houston. The Astros are coming off a championship. I think the Rockets are due for a championship, and I think they're going to give the Warriors a run for their money this year. The West Finals is already printed out on a sheet of laminated paper sent to Adam Silver. It's going to be the Rockets and Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and I don't think it's a clear shot for the Warriors. I know they added Cousins, but I don't think that, you know, it's the Rock. I don't think it's clear-cut Warriors in the finals. Then you also look around there. Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson. There's a lot of hype around him right now. I know no hockey team, but what you said, I mean, what they lack for in hockey, they make up for in their other three sports because they're championship contenders in all three sports.
Plus Dallas is right around the corner, and they're a very good team.
Well, I mean, you look at the geography of Texas.
And obviously they're not right around the corner, but
you get the point. And then five, New York. I think they just have two. They have so many teams, but all their teams.
Not good.
But all their teams suck.
Except
the Yankees. You look at the hockey teams. The Rangers and the Islanders.
Terrible.
Both bottom feeders. You know,
and the Islanders coming off their loss of John Tavares.
I mean, like they couldn't re-sign John Tavares. Like, what are you doing? And then you're looking. At the baseball aspect, the Mets, the worst team, one of the worst team in the NLs. You literally had DeGrom come out and say, "I would be clear cut, no doubt MVP of the NL if I didn't have literal dog shit hitting for me." He actually said that. He said that about his teammates. I don't think he'll be there much longer after those remarks.
I didn't think that was the point. He doesn't want to be there.
But I mean, it's warranted. The Yankees, they're not terrible, but everybody outside New York hates them and should hate them.
As do other people, the Patriots and Red Sox.
And then we're going to move on to the football, Giants, Jets, two of the worst teams in the NFL. I think there's some hype around both of those teams right now because Saquon, because of Darnold, not, the Jets are kind of irrelevant, but the Giants, you know, Odell's coming back.
They have
Saquon. I think it's an exciting team if you're a fan of the New York football Giants, not the New York baseball Giants, because the New York baseball Giants are gone. And then there's one more sport, basketball. The Knicks and the Nets, both terrible, maybe cut. I know that Knicks fans have some reason to be excited because Kyrie and Butler are rumored to want to play together, and a viable destination would be in New York.
And they got some young players in Kristaps, Kevin Knox, and Frank Ntilikina.
Frank the Tank sucks.
He's, I don't know that.
He's a bad, he's...
To new him.
He's, okay, Marcus. But, I mean, the Nets... They literally traded three first-round picks for three old dudes. I mean, three old boys. So that's my top five sports cities. Boston, Bay Area, L.A., Houston, and New York. You know, and Stephen A., I give him credit, you know, turning on his home city for probably the most hated city in sports in Boston. Boston. I can't put Philadelphia.
No, they're shitbags.
I just can't do it. They literally set their city on fire after winning the Super Bowl. Any closing thoughts on baseball topics now, Hunter? Red Sox, 8.5 game lead.
Not really.
Two more games.
I think we covered most of it.
Tomorrow the starter is unannounced, and typically you'd have Velasquez filling that spot. So I don't know what they're going to do. No Price, so I expect it to be Johnson?
Maybe. When? Tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure so far the starter's unannounced against the Braves.
I can look that up real quick.
For the Red Sox. Yeah, please do, because you definitely no Sale, definitely no Price. I'm trying to think who it would be.
Noah Valdi.
Noah Johnson. Porcello, maybe?
It is Porcello.
So Slick Rick gets the ball on the mound today against who?
It'll be Porcello and then undecided. It's Porcello v...
Undecided?
Newcomb.
Who?
Newcomb.
What's his stats?
3.85 ERA, 11-7.
So not terrible. He's not bad.
And then they play Fulton. Fulton Kevitz or whatever.
And is the Red Sox starter unannounced?
Yep. And Fulton Nevitt, because he's sick. He's 10-9 with a 2.80 ERA.
2.80? Oh, my. So Red Sox have two pretty legit pitchers that they're going to have to face in these upcoming days. And I honestly can't wait to see what the Bats are going to be able to do against them. And then right after that series, the Red Sox have a Astros team who is rather hot at the moment. And I think if the Red Sox win that series, I will feel so much better about this team and where they stand. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting end to the year. Make sure to tune in Wednesday for another edition of Sox Talk, and we are going to preview the Astros series. So thank you all for listening. I'm Tyler Sorrow, the Mad Dog.
I'm Andre Sorrow.
And tune in on Wednesday.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.